As you're finding your seat, I'm going to ask for the ushers to come forward to receive the morning offering. Listen, this offering is not a filler of time, and it's not to throw in your token dollar or two. What it's for is to support the ministry of this church as God's put us together. And theoretically, let me go a little further. This offering is also symbolic of the fact that as you give your whatever, that you also symbolically have all of your resources of time, treasure, talent. All of your resources are for His exclusive use. So let's pray over this offering. I appreciate you bowing your head with me. Father, we thank You for this time, the opportunity to give, Father, the obligation to give. And most of all, Father, we give this morning as an act of worship. Accept it from our hearts. We love You. Father, especially this time of year, Easter and Good Friday, we're overwhelmed with what You did for us through Jesus Christ. So receive this offering, Father. Use it as You see fit to glorify Yourself, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, while the baskets are being passed, listen carefully. If you also want to, you can go to the offering box and put your money in there as well. There's two ways to give at this place, and that's enough for that. When the service is over this morning, what you're going to do is we're going to have a couple of minutes break, and here's what you can do. You can leave through either door. This is great. I'm going to say this in a little bit, all right? So if you don't want to stay for a couple-minute finance meeting, you can, and it's good to come and hear what's going on in the church. We're very open about stuff. You can have all the paperwork, et cetera. You can go out that door and go home, or you can go out that door. What do you smell? Yeah, I know. And you know, as I'm preaching, isn't somebody, nobody going to be thinking about what I'm talking about. They're going to be thinking about what's out that door. And so you'll go out that door, and you can just wait a few minutes, and everybody else will then join you. We're going to have brunch together. And you're more than welcome to stay for that fellowship with us. And be a great time together. Listen also about this week, Friday night, 7 o'clock here, a Good Friday service like you've never had before, about a 45-minute service, and it features a private, reflective communion time. That's all I'm going to say, but I almost guarantee you it's like something you've never experienced before as we seek to bring the focus in on the death of Jesus Christ. That's Friday night here at 7 o'clock. Easter Sunday morning, our usual time at 8:30. Listen carefully to me also about this. It would be great that if nobody that's here right now, except a very new people, and there's some very new people here, nobody parks out here. How about that? So you leave Saturday night about 10 and you start walking for church. And you walk to the church building. Or you drive your car and you park it in another lot. And they're all around. They're behind the building this way. My car this morning's out at the end of the building that way in the street. There's parking all over. There's parking there. But let's leave a lot of the spots right in front of the building for those who'll be coming to visit us next week. And those visitors will come because you invited them to come. Churches grow because people bring people. Churches grow because you're excited about what's going on here and you share it with somebody. Say, hey, get on the ground floor with us. Let's do this thing together. Let's make something matter. Let's make something count. That's what gets people to hear as God brings them here. Amen? Amen. Cool. So we'll see you this weekend, Friday and Sunday, for some really good stuff. I got an exercise for you this morning, and I know some of you are already nestled into your nappy time, but what we're going to do is... What we're going to do, nobody can talk right now, all right? Nobody. Nobody, because everybody has to hear these instructions very carefully. Would you please stand? Not one voice. Okay, now, slowly, if you would, do a twirl around and see who's sitting in the rest of the building. Could you do that? We can go left or right. It doesn't matter to me. Go slow, though. And look at people. Of course, now that everybody else has turned around, you see the back of their heads, but you get the idea, okay? Twirl around, see some people. You might have to twirl more than once, all right? No talking. Now listen to what we're going to do for the next 2 or 3 minutes. What we're going to do is you have a mission. One step at a time. I'm going to say go. You are to leave your seat. You are to go see somebody you might know or really don't know. And what your goal is over the next minute and a half is to leave your seat and come back to your seat inside of a minute and a half with two names. First names, Mike and Dee. Easy, right? That's your assignment. So you ready? Set, go. Hello, my name is. Go. Did everybody get two names? That's a yes or no question. No talking. I love this. I feel like a principal. Okay, now listen carefully. Serious. You got two names. John and Mary, whatever they are. I want you to know something about the people that you got two names for this morning. Listen very carefully. And that is this, that those people are going through a rough spot right now, or coming up in the near future, they're going to go through a rough spot, just like you. There are rough times in our lives and times when it's not rough. So you're either in a rough spot right now, or you're heading into one, whether it be years away or months away or days away. Those are the two people that you talk to. And what I'm going to ask you to do with me right now is to bow your head. And I'm going to ask you to do something that you never maybe thought you'd do this morning, but I'd like you to pray for those people. I'd like you to pray for those people by name to the Lord right now. And I would have you just pray for them during the rough times. Pray for them during the trying times. And then lastly, before you wrap up your prayer, pray that they would be taught by the Holy Spirit this morning through the Scripture. Would you pray like that with me this morning right now? Our Father, you hear our prayers as we pray for each other. And Father, as we pray for each other, we pray that your Spirit right now, our teacher, our tutor, would teach us your word. Father, I pray that you would crack places in our heart open that we've never opened to you. Father, go there. Reteach us, train us, discipline us where necessary, that we might understand your word this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you got your scripture, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 in just a minute, but I thought I'd share with you some of the things the church is going through. Hold it. Listen to this list with me, okay? Suppose this church was under severe persecution for their faith. Suppose this church had disunity in it. Suppose this church had fighting in it. Suppose some of the people who are sitting here proudly were really people who were very carnal and fleshly. Suppose they were prideful. Suppose they felt super spiritual. Suppose they were self-centered. Hold it, let me go on. And suppose some false teachers had come in here and had gotten a platform and they were actually teaching against the cross of Jesus Christ. And then suppose we as a group were struggling for food. Let's say we were struggling for clothing and for shelter. And the troubles were just coming from every place. Listen, that's what the Philippian church was going through. As we get to Philippians chapter 4, you see all this and more. This church was under attack. By the way, when you come to Jesus Christ, when you're part of a church like this, you have a natural enemy. We don't say it much up here because it scares people. But when you came to Jesus Christ, Satan became your enemy. You became an enemy of him. And he's doing what he can right now to take you off the rails. Understand that? Wants to hurt you. Wants to discourage you. Wants to take you down. That'd be one thing if it was Joe Blow in the neighborhood out there. I think I could handle that. But you're talking about Satan? That's a little bit scary. Well, what was going on here in the church was traumatic. Everything was going on. In fact, if I was the pastor here, I would be meeting with the elders and I would say this, gentlemen, because when I'm with the elders, I speak more in a manly voice instead of the Mickey Mouse voice I use, okay? So I would go like this, gentlemen. And they all listen. They get their pens out ready to write. I say, I am worried. Wow. When your pastor says he's worried, that's scary. I might even say this, gentlemen, I am scared. I might say this, gentlemen, I think it's time we shut the doors of the church and let people go somewhere else because we're really taking it on the chin right now. How do you get through stuff like this? How do you get through a situation? You ever been in a situation in your life where the phone rings and you realize you're one phone call away from this happening? The phone rings and you go like this, oh my, oh, you can't, oh my, oh. And you just can't even react and speak because the news is that bad. We've all gotten calls like that. And let's say you come to find out that the news is even worse than that. Let's say the doctor really had not just bad news for you, but worse than bad news for you. And you're just listening with your eyes wide open. You can't even blink. And you can't fix this. You got to go through it. Now what do you do? How do you get through a situation like that when you can't fix it, when you can't remove it yourself? How in the world do you make it through something like that? And thankfully, once again, we come to the scripture this morning and it gives us an answer. It gives us something that we can hold on to. And it doesn't give us pie in the sky. It gives us reality right here. Something that really meets my need in the situation. It doesn't say, hey, when you come through on the other side, things will be wonderful and there'll be a check waiting for you. Okay, then say that. It's as you go through this, I'll be with you and I will provide this one thing for you. This one thing that we seem to forget as to what goes on during really, really tough times. And it's the peace of God. Or only the peace that God can give while we're in the situation. Now listen, if you're taking some notes, get your note sheet out and get your pen out. If you're taking some notes, you can't confuse worry and concerns. When somebody worries, or as the scripture says, frets, I love that word, frets, it paralyzes you. And for the person who believes in Jesus Christ, it really leads to inappropriate behaviors and action. It leads to fear and withdrawal. It leads to hesitation. It leads to cowardice. It leads to depression, discouragement, snap reactions, emotional distress, distrust, unbelief. Worry always manifests itself that way. But a concern is something different. If you've got a concern or an issue, it spurs action. And this action, this enjoying this part of the peace of God in your real life situation actually produces fruit for Him. You got your pen out? Write this verse down. In the middle of all this, I wanted to share one verse with you that I want you to see. It's a verse you don't go looking at every day. It's in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 19. I want you to hear this, how desperate things could be. Listen, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, hold it! This is getting dramatically bad. It can't get any worse. This is bad news on top of bad news. You got it. Listen to the rest of this. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. There you go. George Mueller said this, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Did you catch that? It's really worth knowing. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So how do I get it? Okay, I want it. I feel like I'm out hawking at the state fair or something right now. You want this product? You need this product. You got to have this product. What would you pay for this product? And if you act right now, we can give you two for the price of one. Here it is, all right? The genuine peace of God is easily gotten and is available for those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ as a Savior. Listen, we were never meant to go through this life alone. We were never meant to get to a place where God goes like this. You know what, Mike? That's a tough situation, and that's tougher than I can handle, and I'll see you later when you're done with that. It doesn't work that way. He walks with you closer when you need Him, when times are that bad. And we look to the scripture this morning, and I look, and I'm going to read for you from Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 4 and work my way down to verse 7, all right? Let me read for you what Paul says. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious, there's our word, about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And now here it is in verse 7, if you've not seen this verse before. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There it is. That's what I've always wanted. That is the thing I need. The peace of God, which goes beyond my understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. That's what I need as times get tough. And if you got your note sheet, I'm up to the first point here, verse number 6, and it's very simple. Do not be anxious about anything. That word anxious means to worry. It means to fret. It means to be very afraid. It means to be very fearful. Why? Look at your scripture, verse 5. You get your first hint of it right now. The Lord is near, or the Lord is at hand, meaning both in His presence and in real time with His coming. Now, help me with something here. You folks know some basic theology, don't you? This is one of the greatest teachings of the Christian faith. There was a time in my life as a teenager that I bowed and I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. I came to realize very simply that I had sinned. And because of that, I deserved eternal punishment. And that Christ died for me on the cross to pay for that sin. And He wants me to believe in Him. And once I acknowledged that I believe in Him, that wasn't the end of it. There was more. The Holy Spirit came to live in me as a tutor, as a teacher, because you all know me by now. I'm not the brightest book on the shelf. I need extra help. By the way, you're in the same place. You need it too. You don't know the things of God naturally. You need a tutor to teach you in the way of God. So you're never alone. You're always with Him. You know what it reminds me of? When I was growing up, my dad passed away early, but before he did, me and him were like that. And it was just something about my dad's leg that I liked. Now, you're going to laugh, but this is probably some of you too. You probably liked your dad's leg too. I'm not talking like when I was 15 or 16. I'm talking like when I was 3 or 4. There was a nasty dog a couple houses down the block, down the street from us, just a little bit away, hearing barking all the time. And he had bit a bunch of people in the neighborhood. And when you're 3 or 4 years old, all dogs are big. This dog would be gigantic. And there he was in the yard, rah, 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 rah. It scared the wits out of me, and I was just always fearful. But when I was with my dad, guess what I did? I got behind his leg, and I held his leg as I walked with him, okay? Have you ever done this before? Am I the only one? I can remember one time with my dad in the car, me and him, and we were on a ferry boat ride. That's how you get around New York to go to other places. And we were on a ferry ride, and we got on the boat, and it didn't look too good out there because the weather was crummy, and there was lightning. I'm now 5 or 6 or 7, and I've got to tell you, I was scared. It was a horrible storm. And lo and behold, I even asked at one time, are they going to take the boat out in this? You know anything about the New York ferries? They just go no matter what. So sure enough, we got on the ferry. And as we got going across the Hudson River, my goodness, the lightning was flying like you wouldn't believe, and it was loud. When you're a kid, lightning's louder than loud. And it was loud, and the waves were big, and the rain was pounding so hard you couldn't see shore out any window. And I was scared to death, except for the fact that I held onto my dad's arm. And you know what? It comforted me, because he was there with me. Have you had that experience before in your life? Sure you have. That's what's really kind of neat about it. We held on to dad or mom. Somebody else was there. In our life right now, I'm an adult. I can't hide behind your leg, okay? And I can't all the time when something happens in my life grab a hold of your arm and walk through stuff with it. But listen what I can do. What I can do is realize that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence within me. And guess what? I don't walk through these things alone. It's an exciting teaching. We don't do much with it. We don't talk about it as much as we should. But it's an exciting, basic teaching that I do not walk through these things alone. But the fact of the matter is the Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. I got to keep it in mind. And I think it goes back to our view of God right here. Listen carefully. I have a phrase that I've used, and it goes like this. Good theology carries the day. The things you believe about God, if you believe the true and the right from the Scripture, good theology carries the day. But out there this morning, which I've already checked out on TV, by the way, and went on again this morning, out there this morning, there are people who have a low view of God. They don't believe that God's that strong. They don't believe He's in control. They don't think He's that powerful. They believe He's the sweet old man or the man upstairs. I don't even know what that means, man upstairs. The man upstairs. And you know what? He's not really that near. He created everything and went like this. And blew it off. And now he's busy doing something else. Much more he's interested in, not us. And you know what? If you have anxiety or a problem or an issue or something comes up in your life, you're going to have to carry it. Because God is not there for you, and He's not going to carry it. He expects you to stand up on your own 2 feet and carry it for yourself. There's people with that view. And then there's people with what's called a high view of God. That you thinking how powerful God is? He's more powerful. He's the all-powerful God. He's the all-powerful sovereign of all creation. Nothing escapes His control. Nothing is too difficult for Him. He knows all. He knows best. He cares for you. And He's at your right hand. He's within you, and He is near. And if that is true, that God's that involved in my life, including taking up residence in my life, then when I look in the Old Testament, and I see this in Psalm 55:22, that I'm told to cast, completely let go of my cares, to where? to Him. Not in the water, as the motivational speakers would say, or not on the big rock heap. I cast my cares to Him because out of all the billions of people in the world, He, the powerful God, cares for me. And so I cast my cares completely to Him. And Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7 that you need to cast your anxiety to Him, your anxiousness to Him, your fears to Him, your worries to Him. You cast them to Him because He cares. As somebody who seeks to follow Jesus Christ, and I know many of you here do, if I'm anxious, if I worry, if I get into that type of thinking, then I get very susceptible and vulnerable to things like trials and temptations and false teachings. The truth is, good theology carries the day. The Christ follower who experiences the trauma in their life also can experience the peace of God, and then because of that, stand firm in the middle of chaos. Wow. Unwavering in our faith. It leads to my integrity. It leads to credibility. It leads to the virtue that I truly do follow Jesus Christ. And people do notice that. The reaction to life and its events is major. And our reward is the peace of God. And that's what I want to have. Second point I want you to see this morning is this. In verse 6, in the middle of this conversation, it looks out of place to me. Look at it with me in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. I get that. But in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Our first reaction to adversity and anxiousness has got to be prayer. In fact, the overriding truth is we are pictured as a group of people who run where? To God. Things are good. What are we told to do in the Scripture when things are good? We're told to rejoice, to thank God. Well, that's a natural, isn't it? When things are going not so good, what are we told to do? To run to God in prayer, to go and get into His relationship with Him. When things are going really rotten, what are we told to do? To run to God and cast our cares to Him. The reaction we have to every situation is just about the same. We acknowledge the relationship we have with God and we run to Him in prayer. And we cry out to Him and we're not ashamed to do it. Which is why we can stand with people who don't know Christ while something hideous is happening to us, and we can boldly declare to them that I have been praying about this and I am trusting the Lord in the Scripture. Old Testament, good stuff here. We have a God who goes before us. This is not new to Him. He's already been down this road. We have a God who goes before us in all things. That's pretty cool stuff. I want you to see the four terms used here for prayer. You're taking your notes. First one is this. This word prayer here typically refers to the special times of prayer, much like our daily praying or times we pray when we're worshiping. I hope that's something you do on a regular basis. I hope that you're still refining as you grow in Jesus Christ over the years, your relationship with Him and your prayer life with Him and the normalcy of your doing it. The second word that's used here is this. Is petition and supplication, and that's prayers that are focused on special needs. We pour out our soul to God because of the great need we're facing, and we have nowhere else to turn, so we turn to Him. One source for help, one place for help. Third term here, and these are each sermons, by the way. The third term used here for prayer is thanksgiving, and just like it sounds, we thank God. We praise God for all He is and all that He's done and all that He's going to do. Thanksgiving. Stop there for just a moment. Have you ever been part of a prayer group? When this first started to happen, when I first came to Christ and got involved with the church, I got to tell you, for a few months, I was kind of put out over something because I was like, what? Say what? Be praying, getting a little prayer group, going to pray for a mission, going to pray for somebody. And somebody would always pray like this. And it threw me for a curve. It might throw you for a curve here in it too. Father, want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And Father, we already give you the praise for what you're going to do. And Father, I just want to thank you now for the bad situation that we're in, that you've got a purpose in this. And I praise you in the middle of all of this. When I first came to Christ, I was like this. What? You just thank God for the good stuff, right? And when the bad stuff comes, you pray that God would take the bad stuff away, right? Isn't that how it works? Pray that the good stuff gets better and the bad stuff goes away, right? That's what I thought it was. But the truth is, I come to learn that people who truly walk with Christ go to Him and thank Him for the bad stuff because they realize He's working His will and His good pleasure in your life. And that's real mature praying. That's something you can sink your teeth into. Fourth thing here, fourth word that's used here is requests. Specific and definite items mentioned to God. We ask specifically because we need specifically. What's behind all this? I'll tell you what's behind all this. When I first fell in love, guess what you couldn't stop me from doing? Going to the phone. By the way, hang on to your hats for this one, okay, if you're of a certain age. I'm talking the phone with the cord to the box on the wall. That kind of phone, all right? And you know what group I'm looking at in here, all right? You know what I'm talking about, all right? None of this radio wave thing to a mysterious tower. I don't know where it's at, and I got a signal. Forget all that, all right? I'm talking go to the phone and dial that puppy like that, all right? And you get like six or seven of these in, and you realize you messed up and go, ugh! Hang on, I'm going to start again. Am I the only one that's had that experience? Okay, you all understand, all right? But I was in love, so I was wearing this finger out, baby, because I had memorized her number, and it was going to happen, all right? In fact, in my sleep, I could do it. I could still give it to you, too. You think it's you? I'm just kidding, Dave. Okay, good. Good thing there's a brunch, and I'll get lunch today. Okay, good. Saw the line, jumped right over. Just couldn't help it, okay? But here I was, as often as I could, calling her number up because I was in love. She was the real deal. I was convinced God had given her to me, and I was going to take advantage of this. And so I burned up the phone line. You're going to love this. Unlimited minutes on that quarter thing. Okay, good. Good. I'd get her on the phone, and we'd talk. You know what we talk about? Nothing. Loved every minute of it. How you doing? Oh, how are you? When I think of what we first talked about, shame on us, all right? It was just so, I see there's clouds in the sky. Yeah, me too, where I'm at. We're 2 miles away from each other, all right? Same sky. But you get the idea. I wanted to hear her voice so bad. And I think she wanted to hear mine. Okay. Just checking, you never know, okay? And I think she wanted to hear mine. And you know what? She called me too, so let's be honest about this, all right? And when the phone rang at my house, I was like, it could be day. Everybody out of the way. And get to the phone. Oh, salesman. Even in my age. They did that back then, too. Okay, you get it. All right, good. Point of the matter was, it was relationship. We got together. We sat for hours. You know what we talked about? Nothing. Nothing that I can remember. Okay? Couldn't have been that important. Oh, you like lasagna, too? So do I. And that's the way it went. All right? And we talked about a lot of nothing. And in the middle of all that, a relationship was born. And now it's been a couple of years since then. What, about 8, 9? Yeah. It's been a few years since then. A few kids down the road and et cetera. You know, a lot of life experience. And guess what we do now? Get a coffee together so we can what? Talk. Not about a lot of stuff. It's worth each other all the time just about. But we still get there and we talk. Hey, what'd you think about that? What about that? What about the kids? Yeah, when we cutting them out of the will? All that kind of stuff. And so, just kidding. And you know what? Relationship demands that we do that. And we're laughing a little bit about it, but you know it's true. And by the way, if your marriage is suffering, that's probably one of the key components right there. But you know what? We continue to strive to be together because we want to have, and here's the word, relationship. And the thing that I cannot explain to you as much as I study it is this. Is that the God of the universe who created all this stuff, which is amazing. Look at the Hubble telescope pictures. Look at some of these things. Amazing. The God who created all that stuff desired relationships so much with me that he went and sent his son Jesus Christ to die for me, to provide that way to get to him. Now listen carefully to me. Puts the Holy Spirit in me as I come to a believer, to become a believer, and listen to me carefully. He wants relationship with me. The God of the universe, who has I don't know how many administrative assistants up there to help him out with all the details of what he's doing, wants relationship with me, and he wants to hear from me, and he wants to continue to speak to me right here. That's amazing. And he wants to hear about the little stuff and the big stuff and everything in between. He wants that kind of intimacy with me. Do you get it? This is big stuff. And here we have four definitions and words for prayer to help you understand that that's exactly what we'd like. last point is in verse 7. It talks about our reward from this whole process, and it is the peace of God. You talk to a Christian counselor today, you talk to a pastor today, and they will tell you that the majority of the people that they deal with, the most frequent problem they deal with, is folks who are believers in Christ who are dealing with fear, anxiety, and worry, and some of them to the point that they're paralyzed and can't do their life, can't live their life, can't leave their house because they're just filled with fear and anxiety and worry. And they will tell you these people genuinely believe in Christ, but they're genuinely totally gripped by their fear, which is why they're at the counselor's office. And what they need, like what I need, is the peace of God. So write this down. What exactly is the peace of God? It's this. It's a confidence. It's a trust in God's flawless wisdom and power to provide for me an inner calm in the middle of the storm. It's to be assured, it's to be confident and secure in the plans that God has for you, no matter what they might be. It's real peace, it's real settledness in the real world with real problems. That's the peace of God. And you can only have that peace as you and I decide to walk with God in prayer as a relationship, as a lifestyle, since we've come to believe in Jesus Christ. And I get a promise in Scripture here from verse 7, and that's this, that I will then, that peace of God which transcends all understanding, because it's not easy to understand, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the truth of the matter is the result will be that my heart and my mind will be guarded. It will be protected. It's a military term. It means to protect while under attack, because we are under attack. Somebody, some powerful being in the universe, not more powerful than Jesus Christ, but a powerful being in the universe wants to sift you and take you down and hurt you and have that fear overcome you, that anxiety overcome you. But the truth is, the result of this peace is that it will guard your hearts and your minds and give you a security in a non-secure world. The peace of God is beyond all understanding and the logic of this earth. It's not understandable. It transcends all understanding. And it cannot be gotten, listen carefully to me, it cannot be gotten by human means. It can't be gotten by a self-help book or following a self-improvement guru who speaks really good and looks really good and is snappy and young. It doesn't work that way. It only happens through a relationship of Jesus Christ with the God of the universe. Jesus said right before he left this, he said, "My peace I give you." That was a big deal, that's what he would say. Isaiah 26 says that God will keep you in perfect peace, his peace, if you keep your mind fixed on him. Let's bow. Listen, as you bow in your head, let me ask you this morning. Is there something in your life right now that you're holding on to that is causing you to worry? Is there something that's stirring around in your mind right now that's causing you to lose sleep? That's causing you to lose focus? That's wearing you out and you just can't get away from it? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning and that's you, let me challenge you to do something right now while we're quiet. Would you give that item or situation or that other person that's bothering you? Would you give that to the Lord right now? Would you cast that to the Lord right now, completely letting go of it and completely letting him take it? Would you do that right now in the silence of this minute? Cast your anxiety upon him. I challenge you to pray right now. Our God and our Father, I thank you for the words of Jesus Christ when he said, "My peace I give you." And Father, that's exactly what we claim right now in the name of Jesus Christ. His peace, the peace of God, the settledness that knows that you're in control and that you're with us through everything, no matter what. Father, I thank you for that promise. I pray that we as a group this morning would grab a hold of that promise and live that way as we completely live out for you. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.